Blog Talk Radio.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth, on the Trust in God Network. It's Sunday sports wrap time, and as we always open, open with a prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. Have your will and have your way. We thank you, Lord, for the little things we so largely take for granted. And we thank you, the Lord, asking that your way be our way. We thank you, Lord, for another day, and ask you bless our families here and my family in Brazil. We thank you for seeing another day. As the man said, although we don't live on Park Avenue, by the grace of God, we don't live on a park bench. We ask you to bless the families here, dear Lord, who suffered through the past hurricane and those who suffered before the hurricane, those throughout the world. But more importantly, Lord, we come here and pay homage. Homage to you, dear Lord. Thank you for blessings forthcoming, have come all and murdered. But more importantly, Lord, just saying thank you for being our God, the one true God. We ask these blessings, all the blessings. In the name of your darling son, Jesus. Amen. Doc Stanley Sports in Depth on the Trust in God Network, and the Posse will be coming in shortly. 24-20, the downhill side. He said, I remember the DJ used to say, you know, it's 7:02 on the downhill side of 7 o'clock. And the downhill side, 24-20 loss today. The New York Giants, a winning streak snapped. And the Pittsburgh Steelers have swept the New York teams this year, beating the Jets in the second game of the season, and then turning around here today and beating the New York Giants. And it's more so a game where they kind of beat themselves with Eli Manning. You know what you like about Eli Manning is that Manning has proven to be an outstanding football player in person. I remember as a rookie, in a game he had threw an INT, and somebody had tried to situate that maybe that the end had ran the wrong route, and he said, no. And he said, hey, that was on me. And he said today, you know, the passing game hasn't been working. And somebody talked about last week about how Mark Sanchez never says I. It's always we, you know. And, you know, you look at this game today, and, I mean, the Giants took a 20-10 lead into the fourth quarter. And you, the defense kind of had been doing the job. And Manning talked about that today, that the defense has been doing the job and the offense hasn't been doing the job because it was a return fumble that got 7 of the points. And that kind of looked disputable, too. Roethlisberger felt that it was a forward pass. It was reviewed. And the Jets got the Giants got the touchdown. Jets didn't lose this week. But that's because Jets didn't play this week. And waiting for Rooney to join us for our intro, but the incomparable Howard Weston Jr., the incomparable Latino baby Lois, Destino was on assignment, and we also had some difficulties here. And looking back at the football game today, Dusty. I said that football game turned at halftime.
Well, Doc, first of all, the Giants are a good road team, as we've always said. And they played like the road team killers that they are last week. But then they seem to gotten complacent and ridiculous offensively and defensively, where they almost lost the game if it hadn't been for a fluke catch of Zeb Bryant.
Now, talking about the Steelers?
Last week.
Last week with the Cowboys.
And this week, but this week, they playing home, they played like they could catch up with the Steelers at any time. But the Steelers came in here with a mission because they were 3-4, and they had to do something worthwhile. And then the Giants could not stop that Simeon, that running back that replaced Mendenhall.
Redman,
that replaced
1 yard touchdown, 147 yards, and there was a play, Dusty, fourth and inches,
yeah.
And you know he's coming. But one thing you got to say, if you're a pro football team and you can't get fourth and inches, and not only did he get the fourth and inches, but I remember he ran through, and had he not been tackled with a hand tackle trip.
Yeah.
Trip up. he probably would have went all the way, but he had a head outstanding. Tony Dungy said that the Steelers won today three ways: running the football, and another one the way their cornerbacks defended against the Giants. You know, they played tight, they didn't give any open pockets, and they bumped Cruz early at the line. You know,
yeah,
caught him off the line early.
Right, and it seems to me that Cruz has now been targeted by every team, because last week he was also knocked out of the game. This week he was knocked out for a few minutes.
Yeah,
but the fact of the matter is, personal foul. I'm looking at Eli Manning, you know, throwing some desperate passes.
Dusty, I want to say something, Dusty, right here. Dusty, this is a new setup. You can't, even on this new show, Dusty, don't start agreeing with me right away. Hold off for a week or two.
I got to lay this thing down because the Giants have been playing stupid. I mean, here Eli throwing desperately so as not to get tackled, throwing into double coverage, throwing over the receivers.
The first touchdown that Pittsburgh got, Dusty, was off a Eli, the only INT he threw today. But remember, he threw the INT, and Roethlisberger and the Steelers went right down the field and scored a touchdown.
But still, you know, when the Giants had the ball, and remember, they were favored by a lot of penalties by the Steelers. When they had the ball, I mean, he was throwing desperately to anybody. And so, see, I believe in football this way. If you're third and two, third and four, or even fourth and one, you don't go out there throwing wild passes. You got, because what keeps the game alive or your drive alive is the first downs.
If you run the football and you don't get it, the clock is still running.
Right, it's running. And here you throw a Hail Mary when you got Victor Cruz or short receivers that can get that first down and keep the rally alive. Then they got to go to another. But he's throwing the bombs all over the place, over the receivers, into double coverage.
Well, you know what, Dusty, he admitted. He said that
Well,
the,
he admitted he blew the game.
No. but he admitted that the last couple of weeks, the defense hasn't been carrying the team, and the offense hasn't been up to snuff. And,
The point is, Doc, that he's been throwing without any accuracy, throwing desperately so as not to get hit.
Dusty admitted it. Hold on a second. Let Rooney introduce us, and we will continue the show. Rooney, do the intro.
Of course, Doctor. Well, the Sports In-Depth Nation is here. The Sports In-Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I'm here. We are here courtesy of the. I almost got caught up for a second, but we are actually here courtesy of the Trust in God Network, and the straw that stirs the drink is here.
And that indeed
is Doc Stanley. Take it away, Doctor.
Thanks, Rooney. And what we want to say here to your fans, and Rooney, we're getting ready to say the Blake Radio Network. And I told you before, we are indebted to Blake Radio. We thank Blake Radio for the past history we've had with them. We thank Blake Radio for the opportunity that they get. We thank Blake Radio for all the positives that we had. And there's a possibility we could get back to Blake Radio, okay? But we had to break from Blake Radio because there were things that didn't suit us. There were things that I felt was unfair to my posse, and I'm glad to say the posse felt there were things unfairly done to me. Nobody's all right. Nobody's all wrong. We will say this. We love Blake Radio. We are indebted to Blake Radio, and we will always be indebted to him. And there's any way we can help, we can do, we're here. And we can work it out. As Teddy Pendergrass said when he left the album Blue Note, we've got nothing but positive things to say, and we want to say thank you, and we want to say all the best to you. And we love you, and God bless you. And that's the crew here, the posse: Harold Weston Jr., Destino Baby Lois, Nate B. Baseball, Lady A, Cedric C. Wings, and Howard Cosell, a.k.a. Little Coco Smith Jr.
Doc, is my awesome A, is my awesome A on the line?
No, no, she's...
Is awesome A out there?
No, she's still busy. As you know, she's been...
still on assignment? Okay.
Oh, yeah, she's in assignment, and then she's been really... having her mother was in that situation, I think, without lights and stuff for a while, so she's been busy with the family. Our own Destino baby Laura's here. Dusty had a little situation a couple of days ago with his stuff. My brother is still in the dark out there in Jersey.
Wow, Jesus.
Well, Dusty,
oh, my Lord.
Family
yeah, he's still out there. You know what he did Friday? He gave me a call, said, hey, man, you know, can I come over and put some, you know, some food in the refrigerator. I said, yeah, as long as you bring some lamb chops and a cold bottle of champagne, I got no problem, my brother. my brother. No, but
I would like to say that I hope that that the people will make, you know, their donation to the various, you know, charitable organizations, including the American Red Cross. You know, they need, you know, non-perishable foods, you know, bottled waters, all of that type of thing. Transistor battery or transistor radios. You know, batteries, flashlights, and batteries, things of that sort. So, if
you
can find it in your heart,
I heard some attention with yesterday. The guy said, hey, the Red Cross needs money.
The Red Cross needs money.
Money. We're going to wrap.
Yeah.
Let you finish that thought about the Giants. Then Dusty, you were on assignment on our first show. We closed out our show, and me and Harold. You know, today.
Yeah, but I'll tell about that, Doc. I dare you and I'll laugh at me as a good old fashioned athlete when I got my first match. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
No, it was just, you know, in fact, you're going to talk about it in a few minutes ago. Harold called me afterwards, man. We were still, of course. I thought it was an exhibition, you know.
Exhibition, Doc. Yeah, they exhibited me getting a good old-fashioned butt whipping from beginning to end. That's what was being exhibited.
Jesse said, hey, Hal, look up and say, he said, I hit the match, you know, he said, the match a little harder than normal.
let me tell you something, Doc, and I'll let Hal, and then I'll let Jesse finish.
Yeah,
let me tell you and Hal something, okay?
Uh-huh.
I thought going in, being a hotshot amateur wrestler and trying to make my transition to the pros, I thought, you know what, those old spaghetti westerns where they have to fight in the bar and they bring push the dude across the bar and he bumps into all the little glasses and they throw the dude across the table. And, well, I thought we were going to do that. Boy, was I wrong.
That's right.
Hey, Dusty,
that's hysterical.
Dusty, you're a connoisseur of all things sports and sports entertainment. Boy, did I have the wrong idea what the pros is about. Let me tell you that. Right off the bat.
Hey, Dusty, let me just say this.
Let me just finish this.
Go ahead,
let me just finish this, and then you guys can have it, okay? But I got to
tell
you
this. Yeah, we got it.
You guys don't watch that. Doc, did you ever watch that Rocky movie, the one with Hulk Hogan in it, where he's battling the wrestler, boxer versus wrestler for charity?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Rocky throws a couple of light jabs at Hulk and says, this is what we're going to do, okay? I'm not hitting you too hard, am I? Fix a couple of light jabs against Hulk. Then all of a sudden, Hulk hits him on the back of the head and neck. Rocky goes down like he was shot and looks up like, what the hell was that?
What the heck was
that?
That
was my first
wrestling
experience in the ring, okay? No, this is what I did, Doc. I hit the guy across the chest with a couple of forearm smashes and stomped on the ring real hard. Boom, boom. It looked terrific, Doc. Looked terrific. So I'm like, this is cool, okay? We're working it right, bro? Next thing I know, boom! Like I was shot, and I'm looking up at this too, like, what the hell was that?
So,
Doc, all that you see in the ring is not pantomime. There's a lot of good old-fashioned ass-kicking going on in the post.
I like what you said one time. It says, you know, when you don't like a guy, real gets real, real
real,
hey,
real.
A guy named Diamond Dallas Page, Doc, said, people ask me if it's real all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I answer it like this. He said, say I'm working with a guy that I don't particularly care for, and even better yet, say he doesn't particularly care for me either. So we start the match out, and he starts the match with a chop that I think is kind of harsh. So I come back a little harder with mine. Yeah, things after that, things get real, real, real fast. And you know something, Doc, is true.
He said, you know, I'm fighting a guy that I don't like, and he particularly doesn't like me.
Absolutely true.
Let me run this real quick, gang. The Brooklyn Nets open up their debut with a big win. The first time ever in the Barclays Center, the Nets won. And that's historic, bringing back some memories, I guess, some of the Dodgers. The New York Knicks, back-to-back wins, beat Philly today, beat the world champions the other day. The first time
against Miami, Doc. Very impressive
Can you believe this? This is the first time they've been 2-0 since 1999.
I know. That's ancient history.
Since 1999. Also, want to salute Buck Showalter, Manager of the Year, one of the few guys to win the award three times and for three different teams. Shout out to Muhammad Ali. Will be saluted by the WBC next month. Crowned the king. We'll get some more stuff about that. We're going to continue here. Harold Weston Jr. is here. Justino Baby Lords. And
how are you doing, Harold?
I'm
doing fantastic.
Yeah. And
can I ask Harold a quick question, Doc?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because I know you said you have to take Ali in trilogies. And I agree with you. You say the first Ali before that 3-year layoff at the government job.
Boykin says you have to do him in trilogy. You got to do the first guy that was stripped. That guy.
Nobody beat him.
The second guy, okay. You know what I mean? And we know, hey, the Leon Spinks guy, you know, everybody has a shot against him. You know what I mean? But, you know, you have to, you know, be fair, and that's it. And I remember what Harold always said was about, you know, how he just, you talked about how he just saved the game. He came along at the right time. Harold?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead. Expound on that. You talked about how Ali had saved boxing. He came along, and, you know, talk about that, Harold.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, at the time, the boxing was pretty much was dying a lot because of a lot of corrupt things were going on, and people were getting tired of, you know, the six fights and
really how?
Yeah, so, oh yeah, in 1966, I think it was, or 65. It was in the 60s, but we had a Senate hearing that they were going to ban boxing.
They were going to ban boxing from United States.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And the reason why is because there was a lot of death in boxing. But at the same time, there was a lot of corruption, too.
Yeah.
And so I forgot his name, the Italian guy. He's the only one that went to jail. But he only went to jail for a little while for being involved with boxing. He had pretty much a lot of
Are you talking about Blinky Palermo?
Right.
Blinky Palermo.
Yeah. So, you know, basically, That was the whole term. But then they found out boxing, you know, when they realized that boxing wasn't a sport that had all the deaths in it, and they went through that doctor situation, and they knew how much money boxing made and all that. So they, you know, they cleaned it up. They cleaned it up. They started getting boxing commission. Well, they started having a more stricter boxing commission, and who was the head of that? That whole boxing thing was the New York State Athletic Commission. Not that they were angels, but, you know, the fact is that what they did, the government of the United States got involved, and they started appointing people of their, you know, of their, like, whoever got into the Republican or Democrat, they would bring one of their guys in who had some boxing. And that's because New York was so strong, because New York was the one that everybody was looking up to. So New York was clarifying who was going to be champions and all that other stuff. And so they were running the ratings and everything in boxing at the time, the New York Boxing Commission. It went downhill like that because Floyd Patterson wasn't that exciting. I mean, you know, you had your, when Rocky Marciano retired, when Rocky Marciano retired, that was it.
It was a lull in boxing. Yeah, it was a dead, not that much excitement and everything. And they had a lot of heavyweights that came out of nowhere. Remember the Action Jackson, the kid from Brooklyn, who Patterson fought.
Hurricane Jackson, right?
No, no, not Hurricane Jackson. I forgot his name, but they call it Action Jackson.
Action Jackson.
And he fought Dan Buccirone, who he slapped the crap out of Dan Buccirone and stopped him. And that made him a contender. You know, but he was a young kid from Brooklyn. I forget his name. Mm-hmm. But I know they call him Action Jackson, and he came out of nowhere. They build up this cadre of contenders and wannabe champions in Aladdin. Of course, Patterson flew through all of them, you know. And then when he fought Archie Moore, that gave him the title. But it was suspect because during my time there was you could name the who's who. I'm going to use the phrase in organized crime, who was managing this guy and managing that guy and who owned this guy and who didn't own this guy or who was a partner with the other guy. Yeah, you see them all. You can see them all in Stillman's coming in, walking out, you know, with the big hats and the double breasted coats and the big cigars, you know, and you know who they were. And they had pieces of fighters and they brought, you know, they use them constantly. These guys were like human sandbags in the gym. You know, they had a half-assed talent, but they were pushed into 10-rounders and championship fights because of the connection. And that's how Johnny Saxton beat, what was it? He beat Gavilan, or did he beat Carmen Basilio and took the welterweight title?
Oh yeah, Johnny Saxton beat. Oh, okay.
Was it Basilio or was it Kid Gavilan? He got the title from. And then he was the big cheese all over Harlem, this, that, and the other. But you can see that the dude with the double-breasted coat and the big hat was the man behind.
Yeah, Johnny Jackson was controlled by the mob.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, now, I heard also that was the problem with Ike Williams. The mob was so into him, they took a lot of money. He finally got a suit where he got some money, but they were running him, and
Ike Williams was practically buried and non-existent in Jersey. He hadn't defended his title in God knows how many long because of the fact they practically blacklisted him because he wouldn't cooperate with a lot of dudes, man.
Okay.
And out of desperation, he fought a dude who was his sparring partner, Jimmy Carter. If you guys remember Jimmy Carter, his nose was flatter than a pancake, but he was just a veteran journeyman sparring partner. And Jimmy Carter knocked him out in the 10th, 11th round or something like that? And at the time when the fights were 15 rounders, and Jimmy Carter became the superstar that he was until he crossed path with Wallace Bud Smith and all them guys that came out of Connecticut. But that's where it was. It was a control effort. And they brought in, like Harold said, brought in the federal government and brought in people to clean it up. I remember that maybe it was a little before the 60s when in the 50s when I was the commissioner, the boxing commissioner was a federal court, criminal court justice, Supreme Court guy named Helfand, H-E-L-F-A-N. And he ran it like an iron hand, you know, supposedly like an iron hand. Mm-hmm. But still in all, there was a double-edged sword because he ran it like an open hand, I mean like an iron hand, and you go into Stillman's and you see the who's who mobbed them, you know. So I don't know how clean he made it, you know. But then again, Harold is right. We were the poster child for cleaning up boxing. But it took a long time. How clean it is today, I like to believe that it's 80% clean, but you still...
Any time a guy like Margarito gets a license, you know it can't be all 100%.
What I'm saying. I like to believe it's clean, but you see, like I've been telling you, Doc, that the power of the promoter being Arab and top rank, they got him one-day passes. He never applied for reinstatement.
I like that.
He never applied for his reinstatement of his license.
Yeah, he just did temporary. Like, it's like instead of a driver's license, it's a permit. And you talked about that court system, because I remember they told the story about when Barry Bonds and his wife was in the court, you know, and she was filing for divorce. They said they had a feeling that she wasn't going to. Things were kind of go Barry's way when the judge asked Barry for two autographed baseballs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hey, Doc, let me give a little something that the boxers, Dusty and Harold, are going to like. I think it'll bring a chuckle to them. You know, when they made the Rocky movies, I think somewhere in the 70s or so, some guy, some big-time rich Texas oil guy was looking to make a big splash in the boxing promotion business. And so he offered, and I think in the 70s, $1 million was $1 million. He offered $1 million for Carl Weathers. Listen to this one, Doc. Offered Carl Weathers, the guy who played Apollo Creed and Rocky, as you all know, $1 million at the time in the 70s, $1 million was $1 million, to change his name to Apollo Creed, I kid you not, and box a couple of exhibition matches around the country for him. He's looking to make a big splash in the
change
boxing promotion.
Change his name to Apollo Creed.
And of course,
Apollo
he, you know, of course he declined.
Wow. You know what?
He had offered Carl Weathers $1 million to change his name, listen, Dusty, legally to Apollo Creed.
And fight the country. Do Barnstorm.
Yeah, box exhibitions around the country for him. Guys, rich oil guys are going to make a big
splash.
You're
talking about $1 million. Doc Stanley Sports is definitely the Trust and Guard Network. It's a Sunday night sports wrap here. The Giants lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Cam Newton finally got another win as he beat RG3.
Wow, how about that, huh?
Yeah, and the Washington Redskins and Luck.
RG3 he beats. My gosh.
Well, you know, and Luck, the quarterback of the Colts, broke Newton's rookie record, 433 passing yards today.
Yeah, I saw that. I said, wow.
Now, the Cowboys, did we get a final on that Cowboy game?
Because the Cowboys just lost 13-19 to the Falcons.
You know, it's amazing. No, they talked
about.
Well, the
Giants will be happy.
What? Not only that, you know what they talked about, and I have a lady who works at the post office. She said the Cowboys can't deal with it, and Tony Dungy said, you know, after hearing that the Giants had lost, it should have souped them up. Now, here's another staggering stat. In all games, in the games that Tony Romo has threw 40 passes or more, the Cowboys are 0-13. I think tonight maybe 0-14. And they said one thing the defense does, they says, if you can stop the running game and make Tony throw the football, you know he's going to make them. That's staggering. 0-13 in games where he's thrown 40 passes or more.
Well, it stands true because on two occasions here, Tony Romo himself could have run into the end zone. But rather than be tackled and hit or hurt, he flipped it to one of his defenders, which popped out of the end zone. I said, oh, my God, you could have run it in yourself twice. And they would have won the game because this game was a real tight game.
It's second and one. Which again, well, I guess we're going to agree on this show too, like before. It's second and one, Dusty. It's second and one from the 19. What are you throwing the football for? Second and one from the 19. Get the first down, which you said earlier. You got three sets. It's second and one from the 19, and you're throwing the football?
He throws the ball, And this is what I don't understand about what do they do in practice or training.
It's what you don't understand and what Jerry Jones doesn't understand, because Jerry Jones has refused to give him an extension. He wanted an extension on his contract, and JJ said, we got to see. Let me tell you something. We've already seen it. I don't think we're going to see Tony Romo.
I guess he doesn't get a contract.
Huh?
I guess he doesn't get a contract because he ain't seen nothing.
But the thing is, you know, you look at it, who wants this guy? I mean, if you can't win with the Dallas with the weapons, imagine RG3. Mark Sanchez could move the Cowboys down the line.
Well,
let's put it this way: he could do better than Tony Romo. He could do better than Tony Romo, his fellow Mexican. So what's the difference?
This is what everybody said, man, and you sports fans understand, and I see as we came on, I see we got some hits already in the new site. You know, you missed the crew, the intellect, the stuff that they bring to you. There's nobody better than this crew. That's getting back to Giants real quick. They're on the road next week. Then they have the bye week.
They play better on the road.
You know what? And Jesse Barfield, who you know what? We forgot his happy birthday of October 29th, his birthday.
Jesse Barfield, Toronto Blue Jays.
Oh, Toronto Blue Jays. The only African-American to lead the league in home runs for a foreign baseball team. And a great arm, great golden glove. And he said that the thing about on the road, but you know what? Here's another thing, too. And Coach talked about how they wanted so much to win this game in wake of Sandy, but no, they had a lot of hardships too. A lot of them didn't have gas and stuff. And you know what's the amazing thing about it? The Pittsburgh Steelers, the Hoopster told me he was on assignment. Now he's got better. He said that the Steelers couldn't fly in Friday like you know.
Right, absolutely.
All the hotels were booked. The Steelers had to leave Pittsburgh this morning and fly into New Jersey to play the game.
Well, did they tell you the full story?
The
full story was that the big shot Pittsburgh Steelers could have come into New York and preempted a lot of folks who were looking for overnight stays in the hotels.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pittsburgh Steelers says, no, those folks in New York or whatever, they needed more than we did, than we do. We could fly charter, we could fly first class, we could stay home and fly in this morning and take a bus in. We don't need to disenfranchise the people who need the hotel better than more than we did. That's why they came in this morning.
Not only that, I'm pounding my chest here, fans. You can't touch my people, and you did not hear that any place else but right here on Sports Today. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. They show
some heart. And, the thing is that rankles my heartstrings is that it reminded me of 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody went out to help folks to do, the best they can. And here's a foreign team, and I say foreign loosely, who could have said, no, man, we're coming in to play the Giants, and we need our accommodation.
We
got to
play a football game,
man.
We need our rest.
We got to play a football game. We need our rest, and we need our accommodation. They said, no, the heck with it.
We'll stay
in Pittsburgh and fly in this morning and take a bus to the stadium. Let those folks who need it more than we do, rest and recuperate and because it was hard. I mean, it was a hardship. I saw the films of all the boroughs, and Staten Island was destroyed. The Atlantic City was destroyed.
Oh, this blocked
was,
on fire.
Far
Rockaway was destroyed. All those brand new homes in Auvergne by the Sea and by the Peninsula, forget it. It looked like a bombed out section
really
of World War II.
It's like Armageddon.
Right, and the tragedy, if we talk about fatalities, was that when it was descriptive, it really tore me apart when that a young woman with her two children, her two boys, the wind was so strong it ripped the two boys from her arms.
Dusty, let me ask you something, being a former fire person that knows about these things. And I don't mean to cut you off, but I heard that story, and something's puzzled me, Dust. In a storm like that, with the wind blowing at that kind of velocity, why would you have the windows open, Dust?
But it wasn't windows open. She was driving to get away from the storm with her children. She had them in the seat buckets, or the child seats. The car got stuck, and it was rattling. So out of desperation, she grabbed them and ran out to seek refuge.
And in trying to seek refuge,
the wind was so strong.
But I'm wondering, if the thing is flooding, she's getting hit with all the rain, why didn't she shut the windows? But he said you're
the fact is that she was trying to get away.
But you know what? What Seelings was saying, there was a time that he was driving, and he had to let the windows down a little bit so the wind would help in him to proceed, you know what I mean?
It was sort of balance out the, I don't know what they call that, the velocity or the balance of the car so he can get away.
Wow.
Yes. But her car got stuck and was beginning to flood, and she grabbed the children seeking refuge with the children. And, I cannot I cannot imagine the strength of a win, unless, God forbid, the only time I can imagine the strength of win, and I hate to bring it up, but I have to use an example, is when we got bogged down in 9/11, and when Tower 2 came down, we were hit with a tsunami of smoke and grit, you know, and it knocked us down. And we had to lay prone on the sidewalk until that wind subsided. So I made that comparison with her when she grabbed her two children and tried to run away, but the wind was so strong that it literally ripped those two kids away from her. And they were found 2 days later, man, maybe out in the peninsula.
Absolutely
heartbreaking
story.
It's horrible.
But the sad part about that is that that woman went up to a man's house.
Yes.
And she knocked on the door to get shelter, and he would not open up the door for her. That's the sad part.
Really? That's the first time I heard of that, Al. Really?
That's the sad part.
She knocked on doors for help, and they wouldn't help her at all.
No, she was right behind her. Her car was right behind a house, and she got out. And she ran up to the door and knocked on the door. He was right there in front, and he would not let her in the
door. He would not open the door.
Hold on. Now, where was this at? Staten Island?
That's the sad thing about it. He should be thrown underneath some water.
Hold on. Now, was that in Staten Island?
Huh?
Yes.
Yeah, it was Staten Island. Right.
You know what? I'm going to tell you something. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first. The ends, and I'm going to tell you what, probably had a lot to do with racism.
She was a black girl.
That's all it was. You see, I mean, and I can tell you something, too. Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Trust and Guard Network, Sports and Death is a show. And again, I can tell you something. You know what? Had roles been reversed, she would have let him in.
He would have let her in.
Using your term, Harold, sad and touching.
No, this is beyond that. This is beyond the word of anything to let
go ahead, Harold.
You know what I'm saying? Under these circumstances, and knowing that the weather is bad like that, and there's a woman begging you to do it.
That's really tough.
She had her kids on her arms, and she was knocking on the door, can you help me? I'm sorry, I got the story wrong. She had lost her children.
No, she didn't lose her kids. She went to the door. The kids was holding on to a fence. And she ran up to the place. They asked him to let her in. Her kids were just holding on. And then when he wouldn't let her in, she took something and threw it up against the window, and it didn't break. And then she ran back to her kids to grab them. And when she grabbed them, she couldn't hold on to them, and then they went downstream. That's how the whole thing
went.
Wow. Yeah, that's the whole story, you know. And it's man's inhumanity to man. And the irony behind is that this was an integrated couple.
Right.
Her husband, Caucasian, he's a sanitation man. He was out there doing 10, 12 hours a day because sanitation was called in. All the public services, my kids who are cops, were called in doing 10, 12 hours a day, relocation.
Yeah.
My son who's a bus driver, my other son who's a bus driver was not charged. They were not charged. They were moving people from the Far Rockaways into the shelters. That's all he did for 10, 12 hours a day, almost 24/7.
Yeah, and we want to salute. And Rooney, when you say former, when you speak about former firemen and police, we're not former. As the Johnny Depp, when the movie says, we just take things a little easier and slower now. You know what I mean? And I want to salute C Wings and Lady A. You know, they're both in the police department. And Dusty and I, we've been through things not like this. You know what I mean? And Harold. And the good cocoa.
Well, Doc, you're an expert on the law. Let me ask you something. What Dusty and Hal just told me is, man, that's gut wrenching. They don't have something like a Good Samaritan law that can turn things
They were trying to find a way of arresting him, but they can't do that because of the fact it's his house.
It's his house. I said, you know what? Now he has to live with that. You know what I mean? I mean,
he's not going to live with a doc because he doesn't give a damn.
Let me tell you his words was, and I ain't going to say everything he said. I'm just going to tell
Say everything he said.
No, the word that got to me, he said to the news reporter, he said, I am not a lifesaver. I'm not a rescue person. He said, I don't go out there and rescue people. He said, that's not my job.
Wow.
So, and then when he said that, I just squirmed. I'm glad because, you know, when I was there, man, they locked my ass up.
If we all were there, we would go in a group. Actually, he'd be floating down the river. Nobody would know we were there. There'd be no trace.
Yeah. He tried to bring all kinds of excuses for reasons why he should not have opened his door.
All he had to do was open the door.
Woman in with her children. Okay.
Yeah.
Knowing that this water was coming down his block. And that she was in trouble. It wasn't like it was something that you were lying about. She was in trouble. And he would not open up his door.
Is rent you paid for your space here on Earth, Muhammad Ali? Life
well, you know, and the
question
thing is,
what
the
are you doing?
That he saw,
life is not important except for the impact it has on others. Those are quotes from Muhammad Ali, Dr. Martin Luther King, Jackie Robinson. And, you know, in a time like this, when the so-called New Yorkers pulled together in a time where
everybody
Americans
pulled,
all come together. It always shows that when it comes together, it's always about black and white.
You got to
white.
Understand something, folks. You got to understand something about Staten Island.
Mm. Oh,
Staten
good,
Island
definitely.
Is an island isolated by itself.
If I'm correct, at one time, they were talking about making Staten Island its own state, am I right?
Its own state. They were talking about its own state. Why? Because not only do you take the ferry to Staten Island, but because of people living there. Now, you're a cop. I'm retired from fire. I mean, you're a cop. I'm a firefighter. If you and I, with our permanent suntan, wanted to buy a home in Staten Island, let me tell you, folks, you could not get there. In fact, the non-suntan cops and firefighters and sanitation dudes living in Staten Island will be the first ones who will boycott you from getting a home out there.
Well,
That's the history of Staten Island. That's the history of Staten Island.
Well, Michael Bellamy was the first African-American quarterback in the history of Staten Island. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Doc Stanley Sports Def on the Trust in God Network. You know how we get here, because this crew can handle anything. We gave you football scores, but Sports in Depth is not just football scores. It's an in-depth look at sports and the history of sports. And we touched a situation here. Here's a football team. Here's a football team in another state. Here's millionaires who said, hey, we're going to make a say. It's beyond that classic line of his, sad and touching, and it's a point well taken when you hyphen on this, and it just always comes into play. And, you know, you look at the history, and I've said this before, all the benefits from a civil rights nature that all Americans benefit from, okay, was begotten, fought for by Farmer, Hyatt, Abernathy, King. And when these people, just like Curt Flood wasn't fighting the reserve clause for black baseball players. Curt Flood was fighting the reserve clause for baseball players. And when the civil rights movement was made, they weren't doing it for just black people. They were doing it for Americans. But it seemed there's always the problem in America when it's African-American. I keep hearing these stories. I keep hearing this story about, well, why don't people speak only English here? Okay, but let me tell you something. When Columbus came here, did he speak English? If it was Fuscucio coming, did he speak? And let me tell you something. The people that were here, the Navajo, the Sioux, the Blackfeet, the Cherokee, did they speak English? I don't think so.
And let me say this, Doc, on that same notion, Doc, and I think Dusty will probably know something about this too, probably. You know, and this is in regard to the election on Tuesday, you know that geek Willard Mitt Romney basically said, hey,
we don't need FEMA. We don't need the federal emergency, assistance, program. Well, we don't need it. I defund it. Give it back to the state. Basically, you're on your own.
That's the thinking of that mentality, and this is why my stomach is on pins and needles and crunching, because of the fact that regardless of the imbecilic way that this dude has presented himself,
and you don't worry about too, Dusty, and all this standing stuff. The problems that we may have with people getting out the vote too, Dusty.
They have voter registration problems. They have the ballots problem. Everything is coming up, and the fact of the matter is that no matter what, if this happens, if this dude gets in, man, it'll be a sad day for centuries to come.
A very sad day.
But the fact of the matter is that that's what they want, and it seems to me that that's what they want. Now they're talking about everything is nip and tuck. And it's closer than you think it is, and this, that, and the other. Yet, the man is wrong. Everybody knows he's wrong, but he's right because of his pigmentation. That's plain
right. Ali said the complexion of the Doc Stanley's fourth death of the Trust in God Network. That's him, this Daniel Baby Lois. Yeah, you heard Mel Cosell, Igloo Coco, Harold Weston Jr. On assignment is Lady A and C Wings, as you know, they're civil servants, and they're out there doing their due, as well as Nate B. Baseball. We ain't seen Nate Baseball. Hey, real quickly, Mariano Rivera is
coming back.
The word is he wants to come back next year, doesn't he?
Yeah, he told Cashman, count me in. I'm coming back next year. Maybe because Soriano refused the 1 year contract for $13 million. He wanted $15 million, and Yankees offered him $13.2 million. And he said, no, I'm going. So if he doesn't want $13 million, I'll take it. I'll pitch.
Give me Cashman number. I'll take 10, baby. I'm sorry, Dutch. I'll take 10.
You're a sellout. But
hey, Doc, before we move on, before we move on, I do have I owe Dusty a heartfelt apology, Doc. I hope you'll give me a moment to give
you
Dusty
I shall charge you every penalty that you have. What is it?
Dusty, let me handle this. Dusty. Go ahead,
my lawyer. Okay, go ahead.
Hi, Rooney.
Doc, when the Jets first did the deal, got to eat a lot of quote for this, but Harold, I don't mind. Doc, I don't mind. Dusty, apologies to you. When the deal first got done with the Tebow thing, with the Jets giving up two draft choices, and I found out that he was coming here, I believe it, and Dusty, please correct me if I'm wrong, I believe it right away you said it's going to be a disaster, okay?
Rooney, it has nothing to do with Tebow. And Dusty, are you sitting down, Dusty?
Go ahead.
Do you know that Rooney had the audacity to say he may want back the old offensive coordinator for the Jets?
Oh, my Lord. Was it Lindenberg or whatever his name is? Blackburger?
he said right about now, Schottenheimer don't look that bad.
Schottenheimer, right. But let me tell you something. No need to apologize. I just laid down what I foresaw in my crystal ball, because I was adamant against the fact that two quote unquote starting quarterbacks will be backing off each other. And what was Tebow going to do? Nothing. Now they're talking about trading him away because he has been a disaster.
Yeah.
Listen, somebody said he's a quarterback.
You put him on the punt team. You put him in the backfield. And then what we said is the guy.
It's not Tebow's fault.
No.
It's the fact that a rent. I don't know how to use him. I don't know what the hell they want with this guy on all week.
I thought somebody upstairs wanted to. It seems somewhat along the line here, and Harold talked about it too. You know, it's a strange thing here. You got Tebow, and I think
they won't use
what,
him.
What,
not.
The
they
day
won't
is all
use
about
him. Toronto doesn't have a clue.
Listen. Hey, Rooney, you knew that when he came from the Miami Dolphins. You didn't have a clue. He was head coach of the Miami Dolphins. So you knew he didn't have a clue.
Hey, let me tell you something, Dusty. You and Howard were talking about gangsters and boxing before. Sperano's been so bad as the offensive coordinator, I'd rather have Tony Soprano, okay? Not Sperano, Soprano. Bring him over here, all right? Because this guy has been horrible as the offensive coordinator. Horrible.
Right.
But the fact
of the matter is, too, that that money that they spent on him, because they spent a good package, could have gone to Terry Owens, could have gone to Edwards, they could have retained Plexico, they could have brought in McNabb.
That's a strange thing. You know what? That's the same thing about New York City, too. Back then, they put them in touch together. No, New York, you know, people understand New York's fever and zeal for slavery back in the day. And you look at New York City. You look at Jeff Blake was a backup quarterback. He had to leave New York to get a starting job. Here was a guy like Donovan McNabb who would have been perfect for Sanchez.
Oh, my
perfect
God.
For Sanchez.
You don't know how much I cringe for that, man.
Well, we did that two-hour show with the McNabbs. Here's a guy who took his team to a Super Bowl. All Sanchez did was take the two championship games. And you look at New York City's refusal to take African-American players. Now, Chris Chambers gets fired as the batting coach of the world champion. How do you happen? He gets fired as the batting coach of the world champion New York Yankees. And you know, it just, you look at his McNabb, who was there for the taking. I mean, you got a guy like Burrell. I mean, I think Burrell played one game in 3 years here. That's season tickets with a uniform and a pass to be on the field.
Exactly.
That in touch. I can use that term. Lock Sandy Sports Depth on the Trust and Guard Network. It's a Sunday wrap. The Giants have lost. The Jets didn't lose because they didn't play. Knicks and Nets are both undefeated. Both teams open the season with victories. The New York Knicks, for the first time since 1999, 2-0. There's some talk that the NHL may get it all together. Kobe Bryant tells the Lakers, I like Kobe. Kobe says, calm down. We're 0-2. Calm down. Have you forgotten the back-to-back championships? Have you forgotten the championship we won? We're 0-2. Calm down.
Isn't Nash already hurt, Todd? Isn't Nash hurting already?
Well, you know what? But, you know, that's funny. I mean, you knew. Here's a guy that shouldn't have won back-to-back MVPs from the jump. But it's always amazing in sports how you need a guy of the complexion that's, you know, I mean, they question Jason Kidd, but they're not questioning Steve Nash. I mean, he's going to fit in nicely if the team stays healthy. But you know, you make a great point here. The hoops are not here. I mean, both Nash and the fellow in the center, they both went to L.A. with some physical questions. Both guys, Howard and Nash both went to L.A. with physical questions. You know, they weren't 100% healthy. And here's a guy, like I said, I don't know how Nash won one MVP is a mystery. How he won two back-to-back is beyond the comprehension of anybody of any sanity. But still, like you said, he can fit in. He'd have fit in great had they kept that whole team together, the core of that team. But you know what? But I'll tell you what. San Antonio is not the team they used to be. For some reason, the Clippers can't get over the next hurdle. You know, the Lakers will be all right. If Kobe can get healthy, he can carry them. They'll be all right. Oklahoma, they lost Harding. That is a big, big, big blow. And with Miami getting Allen, that's going to be advantageous to him if the Knicks can stay healthy. Because I know Anthony is rocking and rolling. They seem to be
without
good.
Without Stoudemire, too. Without
Stoudemire is better off, I think, in a lot of ways, coming off the bench.
Coming
off
the bench. Without Stoudemire.
He's never healthy.
Anthony is the horse, man.
Yeah, he's the guy. But Hal, aren't you friends with a couple of famous basketball players, too, Hal?
No, I used to be. I mean, you know, the guys I was friends with, you know, they all retired and all that.
Go ahead. Name it, Hal.
Earl of Pearl.
Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite of all time. You know that, Doc. My personal
favorite basketball player of
the
all
greatest
time,
line I heard about Earl Monroe was Walt Frazier. Walt Frazier said in his book, said, you know, I tell you what, number three, they said Earl Monroe did underground with Julius Herb Jr. They asked Walt Frazier, how do you guard Earl Monroe? He says, you know, Earl don't know what he's going to do, so how am I supposed to know? And he said something that I'll never forget. He said, you know, when I played against the great guards, Oscar, Earl, and Wesley, I knew Wesley looking for a jump shot. I knew Oscar's looking to back you down low. He said, but with Earl, every time down the floor, it's a brand new deck. And I asked him once, I see Clyde now, the great Walt Frazier, the greatest all-around guard I've ever seen play day in, day out. Only guy you can utter for me in the same breath, Oscar Robertson. And he's getting ready to go upset after the game against the Bulls. I said, Clyde, how would the old Knicks handle Michael Jordan? And he kept walking. He said, we put Earl on him.
And tell you the truth, the Knicks would have never won the championship if they didn't get Earl Monroe.
Exactly.
The sacrifices he made, and because of the fact he said, Harold, with Earl on the floor, you couldn't double the Busher. You couldn't double nobody because you got Earl.
You got Earl, and you couldn't leave him alone. I mean, he was like an 80-90% shooter. I mean, he knows your sports.
But Al knows his sports and not just boxing. So let me bounce this off you. And you too, Dusty, because it's my contention that Earl sacrificed his game to make sure that him and Clyde, you know, got equal balls.
Well, it wasn't that Earl sacrificed his game. Yeah. It was that, you know, first of all,
let me
tell you what Earl told me, okay?
Go ahead, Clyde.
The most important thing about him and Clyde was the fact it was one thing, and this is what going back to the guys back in the day. He wanted to win a championship.
Yeah.
Right, absolutely.
Okay, and for whatever he needed to do to help Clyde, and Clyde was the same way, was to win the championship.
And let me tell you something too, Harold.
If Clyde was going to hit 100 shots in a row, Clyde would have got the ball 100 times in a row. Okay?
And if Earl was hitting
100, every time they come down court, Clyde was hitting, he had the ball.
He said,
I wouldn't care if I didn't make a point.
And vice versa.
So that was the whole crusade. That's the come when he was with Baltimore. That's the come he left them because he wanted to win the championship, and he knew that him and Clyde would really match up. Because when they played each other, it was always a duel.
The greatest backcourt in the history of professional basketball. Yeah. Let me tell you something else. It's the only duo backcourt in the Hall of Fame. Okay.
One thing everybody knew at that time when they got Earl is that the Knicks, nobody's gonna be doubling Walt no more.
That's right.
Now you gotta do a one-on-one with Walt
In the playoffs, the Knicks were able to shoot from the outside or hit Earl go one-on-one. They could play the half court game and they could. Hey, listen, you know what? And here's the bottom line. And this is the thing that gets you. They always act like black players can't play together. But yet, when you grow up, who are you playing with? Yeah, it's always amazing how black players
play together. We know we're going to win the championship.
That's the bottom line.
All you got to say, there's a championship on the line. Money don't have nothing to do with it.
We just wanted
to win the championship.
Talk to them, Howard Weston Jr.
All right.
And I want to say this. In my Sports and Death Trust and Guard Hall of Fame, I've got the great Earl Monroe gave me a uniform from the old timers game. He gave me Here's the bottom line, Earl Monroe. I remember when the Nets, they just got Julius. It's 73. They played an exhibition game in the Garden. They were static. They beat the Knicks in the Garden, who happened to be the world champs. And I remember a reporter was talking to Brian Taylor, and I was. Would become great friends of Brian, friend of Brian. And Brian Taylor said something about Earl Monroe that is gospel. He said he's a pearl of a player, but more than that, he's a pearl of a person, a jewel. Just a great human being. Him and Clyde are the greatest backcourt that ever played. And Earl Monroe, could I do top 10? Him and Clyde are in the top 10 of all-time guards. And the thing about it was, it was amazing, was that Hoffman didn't want Earl. Figured Earl would mess up the continuity. And yet here's the hypocritical thing about the Knicks. When the Knicks got bad, Earl, do your thing. Magic show. And people forget, when Earl Monroe came to the Knicks, not only did he make them a better team, but the sellouts kept coming because people want. And here's a little something for you. Earl Monroe got the name The Pearl because I asked him that one time. I said, Earl, how you get the name The Pearl? He said, well, you know, man, he had a deep voice. He could be a great singer, too. He said, you know, I started this year off in college, he said, where I scored about 60, 70 points, three or four games in a row. He said, after one game, a writer said, well, last night was another one of Earl's pearls. And the name stuck. They called him Black Jesus. The wife, my children's godmother, Turco Sherman, told me she went to Salem. She said, you know, before Dr. said, I love to watch Earl the Pearl play. Earl Monroe, great person, great player. And, you know, like I'm saying, all you have to know, he's the first ballot Hall of Famer. He's won his ring. And he was a magician with Baltimore, and he was a magician with the Knicks. The great Earl Monroe.
And my personal favorite basketball player of all time. My personal favorite, Earl Monroe.
You know what's so amazing about those guys? Mm-hmm. Do you remember sometimes they'd be down by 18, 20-something points going into the fourth quarter and everything and come back and win? Cool. I mean, they did it so many times that everybody would just sit there
until
the final buzzer because you just didn't know how they were going to come out of it.
I remember a game I was reading in Clyde's book. Clyde said, we were playing the Chicago Bulls. He said, we were a little off. You know, we've been tired. We're out of sync. You know, first quarter, we just couldn't do anything. You know, I was hitting Bradley and Earl. And we were out of sync and everything. He said, you know, but finally when the game was over, he said, you know, we beat them by 20.
We won ourselves, but
we beat them by 20. You know what I mean?
You think about Chicago and the Knicks, when the Knicks was the Knicks, mm-hmm. the matchup would have been a heck of a matchup because I'm thinking about the center. Because Willis Reed being the center, he's dealing with Cartwright. Cartwright wasn't all that.
No, he wasn't.
All you do is let Michael get his 30 points, you know, a game, and let that settle in. Scottie Pippen.
In those days, I said this, Doc Stanley Sports Network, the Trusted Guard Network, this is the crew. We're back on Sunday at 11 o'clock. I said this before, look, you know, Michael's a great player. And if I got to be stuck with Michael Jordan as the greatest, I can deal with that. But if Mike played in those days, he ain't slamming and jamming over Willis Reed, Will Chamberlain, Bill Russell, Wes Unseld, Nate Thurman, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar,
right,
Clifford Ray.
But you got to understand, Michael had a different game than those guys.
Exactly.
You know, Michael had the shake-a-baker situation where them guys didn't have the shake-a-baker situation like Michael did. And so I got to give Michael a little credit that he'll be still hitting his points and everything. I'm just looking at the whole team situation. Because one thing about the Knicks had that a lot of teams don't have, they had a six-man, a seven-man,
They were deep.
And you know what? It was a quiet deep. It wasn't there was a name deep. But these are,
Harold,
you know,
Harold,
they
you
don't
know
get
what,
their
here's
points.
Here's where, Harold, they were assassin deep.
They were
assassin deep.
Yeah.
But I can tell you something, though. You know, people forget. If Isaiah Thomas and the Detroit Pistons didn't get old because Mike couldn't get past them. I mean, you know, if that team had stayed healthy, we're talking about Isaiah and Dumas in the backcourt, Bill Laimbeer up front, AD, Mark McGuire, and Dennis Rodman with the microwave and John Sally coming bench. You know, people forget, it wasn't until, because those guys went to the NBA Finals 3 years in a row. They went to the semifinals 4 years in a row. If Isaiah and them don't get, I don't know what it was, if they didn't get old, you know, Mike wasn't getting no championships like you know, Scotty came along. But that team matched up excellent. In fact, that team was superior to Mike's. Because what you said, Harold, let Mike get his. Take care of Scotty. Take care. Because actually, if you look at it, offensively, all they had was Scotty and Michael.
The two of them. That's all. The two.
Because because Detroit, they had Isaiah, they had Dumas, they had McGuire, they had AD, Lambeer was the equal of Cartwright. You know what I mean?
They had support players. Yeah, Michael and Pippen, they had support players. They were,
and not only that, if we go back,
how does
Mike's team go against that Laker team when they were in their heyday with Kareem in the hole? We got the great James Worthy up front. Then you got in the backcourt, you had Slick Nick. You had then Scott came. You had Magic, of course. You had Rambis up front. But you talk about a deep bench, Harold. You talk about a deep. They were bringing Bob McAdoo, Michael Cooper, and Michael Thompson off the bench. I remember a game against the Sixers. The Sixers were up by 5. They brought the bench in. When the bench sat down, the Sixers were down by 11. You know? Doc Stanley Sports Network, the Trust in God Network. It is a Sunday sports wrap. The crew is here. Another network, same quality service. Some things you learned tonight. The Pittsburgh Steelers said, hey, we'll come on Sunday. Let the people who need it stay. And this, can't even put the words, touching story, where it seems that sometimes that everybody ain't looking out the way they should be looking out. It is a wrap. The Giants winning streak is stopped 24-20. And in a lot of words, you're saying yay, yay, yay for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Cam Newton hits a touchdown, and they beat RG3 and the Washington Redskins. The Cowboys fall again. The Falcons stay undefeated. Tomorrow night, it's Michael Vick against the New Orleans Saints. We'll see how that works out. Other scores around the league, we'll give to you later. Andrew Luck and a big win. Broke Cam Newton's one-season rookie record now. 433 yards and a win. Jets didn't lose today because the Jets didn't play today. They will be playing next week. And the next
time
they'll be...
they get for Tebow, they might as well take, or they have no clue as to how to use them. What do they do with them all? My question to you, good doctor, and pardon the interruption, what do they practice with them all week long?
It was funny what you said.
Me
and C-Wing, Cincinnati C, we went out to the camp, and they're telling us, okay, you can't film this, you can't write, you can't talk about it. So they're doing the Wildcat with Tebow. And you know what? It's working in practice. You know, it's working in practice. But, I mean, in any situation, do you bring a shortstop to the team and put him at first base? Do you bring a shortstop to the team and put him in left field? I mean, you know, this is a situation that we've talked about, Harold. We've talked about the C-Wings is not here, Mel Cosell, and also D'Azusti. You know, here's a situation. The Jets right now are 2-2 in their division, all right? But what is Tannenbaum thinking? I think somewhere along the line.
He's got to go.
Rex Ryan's hands are tied. I mean, he keeps saying that Sanchez is our guy. Rex, you have to tell us that. We see that. But the point is that I ask, why is Sanchez still in games and you're up 30-3? Why is Sanchez still in games and you're down 30-3? Why is Sanchez still in games where he's ineffective, he's not doing the job? Tebow is a quarterback. He's not a punt returner. He's not a halfback. And I'll never forget what Joe Klecko told me. And Joe Klecko, when he said Tebow, heard Tebow was coming, he said, what you, Rooney? Same page as you. He said, hey, you know what I mean? He said, first of all, the guy brings some credibility to the organization. Devout Christian, credible guy. And he said, here's three things. The guy, and right now, the Jets and Giants can't say this, he beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. Okay, his
big
team
deal.
Went to the playoffs, and
big
his team
deal.
Won the division. Just can't say none of that last year.
It was a fluke Hail Mary, and the Steelers
no,
were not covering
No, it wasn't
the
Hail
guy.
Mary. No, Dusty, he hit him on a slant. But regardless,
it was
Hail
a
Mary
Hail
or not.
Mary,
but
Doc,
regardless,
play
Dusty,
it back.
Regardless,
play it back, it was a Hail Mary to the end zone.
No,
That's
no, no,
it
wasn't. Hit him on a slant,
yes,
Dusty.
Yes, it was.
Hit him
play
on a slant. review the film. Yeah. I'm watching it now.
No.
Hold on.
No, yeah, you're watching the film.
Hold on, I watch the film.
Tebow
back.
He shot from
on
the
slant. Dusty,
he
here's the film.
Pocket.
Here's the film, Dusty. Tebow
no,
on
the
slant. He got a touchdown.
No.
Tell Dusty he's wrong. That's it.
No.
Thumbs up.
He shot from the pocket blindly into the end zone. That's what he did. And there was an uncovered
receiver. Dusty, you know what? But we give him credit. Now he's, okay, won the game, but still importantly, his team made the playoffs. And his team won the division.
Yeah,
you know,
he
I
made
mean,
the playoffs and he got murdered
the guy,
the next week by the Patriots.
The Jets, you know.
First of all, Dusty and Doc, did they use a guy? They have no clue, okay, like I keep saying. First of all, when they bring Tebow in for these plays, and that's your probably, I'm hoping you'll agree, they actually break Sanchez's momentum, Doc. They don't bring him in at an opportune time, like they're at the red zone, and they bring Tebow in the game, they're actually breaking the momentum of Sanchez. They break his momentum. They don't help it.
You know what? So it's a double-edged sword from a negative standpoint of view. And here's an amazing thing, gang. Here's an amazing thing. This is simply amazing. Jets 8-8 last year, right? And they were the number one team in the red zone in the NFL. So you know what the thing is here? Their defense hasn't been doing it. But you talked about that, Rooney, and so did C-Wings, is that the guys that and a lot of those guys that refuse to play with, you know, not the complexion of the connection, systematically, they have taken the way, and this is what's been winning the game the last two or three games for the Giants. You know, the win against the Cowboys to get all those points, and the defense happened to come through the game against the Redskins. And the Jets' defense just hasn't been doing it. I mean, I got to think, if you don't trade Tebow, we're going to Seattle.
Yeah, I'd like to say don't trade him. You know?
Huh? I mean, if you don't trade him, he's got to play.
What I'm trying to say is, Doc, okay?
Say it.
Tebow's got the type of dude, Doc, based on his game, okay? When you can't bring him in for Sanchez, you don't use him for a play and then take him back out for another play. You've got to say, Mark,
you ain't doing it. And the last game was that kind of game. Mark
not,
wasn't
not just
doing
that,
it.
Doc, but when you bring Tebow in, okay,
you have got to
let him play.
That's
what I'm saying,
Rooney, I agree with you.
Back
when he comes
back
in the game, hey, Mark, sit down, Tim,
right.
It's your show.
And let this dude play 5, 6, 8, 10, 12 snaps
that's
in a row.
That's what I'm talking
not
about.
One play and sit him for another 20 minutes. That's not how you use the guy. When you
hold
bring
on,
people
Ken.
In, you have to let him try to kick up some momentum, Doc. 5, 6, 8, 10, 12 plays.
He was the only guy that almost got a touchdown in the preseason. Only guy almost got a touchdown. Real quickly, gang, Doc Tennis Sports Network, Trusted Network. Your feelings, manager of the year for the National League, Davey Johnson, manager of the year for the American League, Buck Showalter. You have a problem with that, Rooney?
No, I can live with it, Doc. I can live with it.
Dusty?
I can live with I got to tell you, I've never been a Showalter guy. I'll tell you that right off the bat.
Do you know who else is not a Showalter guy? And you won't believe this, gang. Eddie Murray.
And never got along with him.
Really not.
You
agree, Showalter and David Johnson and manager of the year?
I National League. I would have taken the what is it? The manager who won the World Series.
Bochy.
Yeah.
The Giants.
I forgot his name. Yeah, the manager for the Giants.
Yeah, Bochy.
Not so much David Johnson. Because that David Johnson inherited a team that was already reached the peak.
You know, it's funny that you said that, Dusty, because Davey said that if I don't win the division, they should fire me. But I'm going to tell you something about David Johnson, though. He's the kind of guy that sticks up for his guys, and he was irate at the Mets when they got rid of Kevin Mitchell and a couple of his guys, because those were his guys, you know. And he defended Kevin. He was with Darryl, Keith, you know, Carter. He got Carter in, and he didn't understand. That's one of the reasons why he left him, because, you know, these are the guys he brought in. You know, he won the World Series with them. These were his guys, and the Mets were doing a lot with, like the Jets did to Rex Ryan. You know, they were taking away his whole cards, and leaving him, you know, empty and naked. But a lot of people felt he was a guy. The International Baseball Writers, Internet Baseball Writers, Dusty, you also remember that. If you want to get that too, Rooney, they the collections came out. And Johnny and Buck Showalter were the guys that we voted for. Also, next week I'll give you the Rookies of the Year. We're also going to have the MVP, the relievers, and you know what, man? It's November, December. Next thing you know, it'll be running our way back into spring training. Derek Jeter will be recuperating. Here's another big question.
There's a question mark on him coming back because it was more severe than what they thought it was. Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Hey, Dusty, you know what would be funny? You know what would be funny here, Harold? If Derek Jeter doesn't come back and Rivera does. That would be something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That would really be something.
And there's heavy trade talk of A-Rod going to California. So they
really?
need a third baseman.
Hey, Dusty, here's the thing. What happened to Albert Pujols?
Albert Pujols, the money spoiled him. Albert Pujols transitioned from a National League to an American League. The whole change of state and the cushion of $252 million,
mm-hmm.
and he hasn't adjusted to anything. It's a period of adjustment. This is his rookie year in the American League. He's always been a National League all his life,
mm-hmm.
and now we'll see what's going to happen in the sophomore year, but.
Didn't he get hurt though, Dusty? I heard something, but I'm not sure whether it's true or not. Pascal Perez, man, you heard about that?
Yeah, he was killed for his baseball pension money.
Are you serious?
One of the things that outside of boxing, and we haven't talked about boxing, outside of boxing is that every other franchise, you have a pension.
Mm-hmm.
And he lived in one of those small rural towns. We all go back home after we retire. Johnny comes marching home,
mm-hmm.
and he was living off his pension. And what happens, they suspect very easily that those who he knew, who knew that he was getting his pension, of your pension off, and those the have-nots and the have and the have-nots went into the house to steal his money, and when he didn't have it, they beat him to death. His brother Melito, who was also a pitcher with the Yankees, those dudes who killed him are the dudes that he hanged out with, and they knew that he had money coming in all the time. And unfortunately, you don't want to label a country, but certain countries, third world nations, are, you know, they don't amount to anything. They're still living in shacks and all that. And here is a fighter, retired, went back home, lives in his home, and he's getting his pension, and he's living well, living large. And those have-nots who will never get anything. And so they knew that he always had money, and when waiting for his check, they ran out and killed him.
Yes, you're right. He's in a small community. And how can we use the term "sad and touching" here?
Oh, there's no question. I think that's definitely needed in this situation. I mean, you know, here's a man that thinks that he's safe because he's going back home. People that he's known all his life, and it's so, you know, that's the saddest thing in our world today, is that there's so much jealousy with people today, and people who don't want to work for theirs, they want to take yours. And so basically you're talking about a generation that doesn't want to work. They want the money, but they don't want to work for it. They want the money, but they don't want to put time in for it. They want the money, but they don't want to learn how to read or write or how to get to it. But they want to steal or kill you over your money. So, you know, that's what you're dealing with today. They're not taught today how to really work hard and really put efforts in and do the studying. They're not taught that like we were taught. We were taught to get down and grind and build and work hard and all that. They weren't taught like that.
Yeah, you have to deal with the realities that you have. And I hate to don't think that I'm picking on just Dominican Republic, but You have to think that all these guys have homes. Their families are well taken care of. Jose Reyes, Sammy Sosa, Pedro Martinez, Big Papi, all them dudes go back home.
Right.
And they build their mansions and live among the people, and they, sure, they're involved in charitable events. But there's still the other side of the coin where there's the jealousy, you know. And then you have a Venezuelan, I forgot the pitcher's name, who was kidnapped. I forgot the guy's name, but he was kidnapped. And
so
he was
Dennis
held
Martinez?
Ransom. No, it wasn't Martinez.
Okay,
he
okay.
was held ransom for ransom for
yeah,
his,
yeah, yeah, I remember,
his,
yeah, right.
His bonus money that the Major Leagues paid him when he signed up his contract. He went back home. He went back home and to spend time with his family, and boom, he got kidnapped. And they had to pay that freaking ransom because what they're doing in these countries, again, I'm not stipulating a cut, but they're doing in these countries is that they kidnap you, and if you don't have, they'll cut off a finger, they'll cut off an ear, until you come up, you come
man
up.
Man inhumanity to man. Yeah, I'm always amazed,
right.
Dusty, how people.
And it's an amazing, sad thing that this happened now.
Sad and touching.
Yeah, here's a man
sad
55 years
man.
Of age. Yeah. 55 years of age, having a nice, comfortable pension, and he gets killed for his pension. So you wonder what's going to happen to the Sammy Sosa's and the Big Poppies and all that.
Well, you know what happens.
Home.
That's why these guys sometimes have to have 24-hour guard service. I'm always amazed. A man to the man to man. And the thing, too, Dusty,
to
is, you know,
Cuba.
How people think that, you know, he owes $100. I'm going to go and kill him. Or he looked at my gun, I'm going to kill him. Or, you know, if man has nothing to do with the giving of life, and he's so instantly ready to take away life. And you thought there was so much more pride in the Hispanics of each other when they talked about the Marichals and the whole. But Harold made a point. This is a different generation. This is a different mindset.
But you see, Doc, you got to understand one thing, that it's not so much the Latin community, is generally all around.
That's what I'm saying.
All
in general.
Right.
I'm just saying across the board. Oscar Robertson said at the 1997 All-Star Game. And a writer came to Oscar. Doc Stanley, Sports Def on the Trust and Dart Network. We're here, baby, every Sunday at 11 and during the week. And we'll be on more often, bringing you more shows on Sports in Depth on the Trust and Guard Network, and Oscar Robertson said something. And this guy came to Oscar, and he said to Oscar, you know, today's players are not cognizant of the guys who've come before them. And his what he was saying was these black players are not aware of the black players or their pioneers. And Oscar said, hold on. He said, it's not just basketball players. He said, it's in vogue in our society today across the board. Doctors, lawyers, dentists, carpenters, nobody today is cognizant of those reforms. And it's what Harold said 13 minutes ago. And Dusty, you, myself, Harold, Rooney's part of that too, by the grace of God, we came up in a different generation. Harold talked the other day about what boxing taught you how to defend yourself, but not to abuse your boxing powers. And you didn't beat up on a guy that didn't have the talent. And you looked out for the guy. I've always been amazed how guys could go 13, 15 rounds and turn around and hook and be friends for life. Buck O'Neill said something else. He says, the junior looked out for the sophomore for the freshman. And you did that as a kid, Dusty. When you were 11-year-old, you looked out for the 8-year-old. And the 13-year-old looked out for you. We were blessed by God to come through a different generation. And you're right, Dusty. It's not Hispanic. It's not black.
It's everywhere,
it's
but
what,
unfortunately.
It's universal, especially in America where nobody.
Yeah.
There was a time when a cop told you to move, you moved. You didn't say,
yeah.
I know my rights. You just moved. You didn't throw.
Yeah.
You didn't. Come on, Hal. You didn't throw rocks at a fire truck. You know what? You didn't. You didn't tell a sanitation man to kiss your. You didn't tell your teacher, hey, don't tell me. I tell my mother. We came from a different generation.
It's
a different
perspective, but you also got to understand too that a lot of, and I use the phrase third world nations.
mm-hmm.
are people who have never seen or couldn't scratch two pennies together,
mm-hmm.
and increases or creates that animosity or that jealousy of the person who they feel flaunts it in front of him. He has his home, he has his car.
The simple thing in America is that African Americans aren't pure blood. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you worked with me at SCR from Radio. SCR from Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, the heartbeat of Big Apple, New York City. I mean, hey, man, you had the problem where the African Americans are seen to be inferior to the Africans that are coming over here. And we go back, there was.
It's typical, but you see it in Latin. Yeah.
You go back to
Pascual Perez,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you'll see why beat the man who brought pride and recognition to the nation.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's now retired like anybody else is pensioned off and living
to the community.
It's because the dude who never made it says, hey, man, all this money, man, geez, well, I need a piece of it, even though I didn't earn it. So he's going to, and then to beat him to death. I mean, that's
sad. You know what's so stupid about these person that did that and anybody that robbed somebody? You don't have the whole money. You ain't got $100,000 in your house. You know,
exactly.
Normally people will have $100,000 because you have all your money
that.
In bank and it's laid
exactly.
out in certain situations.
Yeah.
That is so stupid to go rob somebody unless you really know that money's there. There's no sense to go robbing somebody thinking because he's rich that money's going to be there.
What?
Is not going to have that kind of money laying around.
The point you bring up too, Howard, is that you steal a Rolex watch that's worth $25,000 and you sell it for $50.
Yeah, but the sad thing is that they didn't find any money in the house.
Because you don't have that kind of money laying money. That's
how
stupid
it is. And you're right.
Howard, you said that 42 seconds ago. Hold on, gang. What we're going to do real quickly. Rooney, about 3 minutes left. Do the closing. We'll talk for the last time. Dr. Sandy Sports Network, the Trust in God Network. Sports in Depth is the show. Trust in God is the station. Harold Weston Jr., the Tina Baby Lewis. And Mel Cosell Smith. Rooney, give us a closing, and we'll talk the last couple of minutes. Go ahead, Rooney. Close us out.
Well, I, Doctor, the Sports in Depth Nation's been here. The Sports in Depth panel's been here. I'm Mel Smith, Jr. I've been here. We've been here courtesy of the second time this has got me, Doc. But we've been here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that stirs the drink's been here. And that indeed has been Doc Stanley. Again, we thank you, good doctor.
Yeah, gang. And Destino Baby Lois is here. Harold Weston Jr. is here. Mel Cosell Smith. Next week, we'll have the rest of the crew. We'll be doing shows during the week. Tune in with us. We're going to talk these last couple of minutes. And how you just said it, and Dusty, 30 seconds later said, you know what I mean, guys not, well, unless, hey, hold on, gang, unless, hey, had Dusty, unless he's Floyd Mayweather Jr.
Money Mayweather, he will not last in DR.
Hey, Dusty, what'd you say, Dusty?
By the way, Doc, I'm making a profound profound prediction right now with Howard and Dusty, the two boxers on the line. I am now predicting that Marquez beats Pacquiao in that upcoming Rumble in a couple of weeks.
Oh, it's a slam dunk victory for Pacquiao. What you talking about?
Howard,
I got to tell you, Dusty, I think the guy's more interested in politics right about now. You know he's never going to get Floyd.
Who wins Pacquiao and Marquez, Howard?
And Pacquiao, I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, Marquez has got to knock him out to win. I mean, they ain't going to never get Marquez no decision over.
Exactly.
Hey, Howard, you and Dust don't think that this guy is like, this is the fourth time I'm fighting this guy. I got to come out of here with a win against this guy, man.
Listen to what I said.
Mm-hmm.
As long as there's three judges,
mm-hmm.
exactly.
and the fight goes the distance,
mm-hmm.
Pacquiao wins.
Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you, what Harold's saying is, like I said, when Mrs. Star Barnes had filed for divorce against Barry Lamar Bonds. She had a feeling things weren't going her way when the judge asked Barry, "Is it possible you could sign these couple of baseballs for me?" I think she knew. She didn't stand a chance.
She knew she didn't stand a chance in yeah, Supreme Court.
But the point I'm saying to you, look at the logic.
Yeah,
Pacquiao
exactly.
Fights anybody. He does a million buys on pay-per-view.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Marquez fight, and you get nobody to see.
Sporadically, yeah. The only way for
Marquez. So who are you
right?
voting for?
The only way for Marquez to get a pay-per-view fight.
He was right until I saw that last robbery of Pacquiao. Then I'm thinking that all bets are off as far as that's concerned.
Yeah, but you see, the only way for Marquez to get a pay-per-view money is to fight a Mayweather and to fight a Pacquiao. Other than that, he ain't fought nobody for pay-per-view. And the first pay-per-view in his life was a Mayweather.
Anybody that has seen him anyway outside of Pacquiao and
Marquez.
The guy that he just fought with him.
Marquez.
But
hey,
no, Marquez.
Real quick, before we close, because you weren't here, your thoughts, your reflections on Emmanuel Stewart.
Wow, Doc, you should have started that a half hour ago. I got 20 years of Emmanuel Stewart that I could talk about.
Well, give us part one now, and we'll go part the next show.
Well, you know, the man was a mentor. He was, to me, when I talked to him, he was not too big, not to sit down and school me and talk to me. We had a long, long talks on when he took over Cotto's training, and he booked it out. He laid out the plan of how he was going to train and train them not to change anything but get rid of the bad habits so he could be competitive to fight for Yuri Foreman's title. And sure enough, it was like a personal promise to me. I went on a mental checklist and I saw everything that he changed in Cotto that gave Cotto the victory over Yuri Foreman. He said, "I'll keep him off the ropes. He's not going to switch southpaw. He's going to stick behind that jab, and he's going to sit behind the stick, and that's how he's going to win. He's going to jab, throw his right hand, be offensive and defensive, and he's going to use his left hook that's been missing without a trace for a long time." And sure enough, my mental checklist, I saw everything. And this is exactly what impressed me. This is why I think I told you that when he changed trainers. He went to Pedro Garcia. I said, "I wish Miguel Cotto would have stayed with Emmanuel Stewart for this one major key fight with Mayweather. Maybe," and I keep saying maybe, "things would have been different." Because Garcia could not control. One of the things that Emmanuel Stewart says, "I'm the trainer, I'm the teacher, I control.
This is
how I'm going to train these guys." And this is how he's successful. He took Lennox Lewis. He took the Klitschko brothers. He took the McCrory brothers. He took the Hilmer Canties, the Tommy Hearns's. I mean, the Carl McCall was in the Oliver McCall.
Mike McCollum.
He made champions of, and then he trained De La Hoya. He trained two or three other guys who were not his fighters, and made him, you know, champs, man. And this is the mentor, you know. They broke the mold with Emmanuel Stewart, with all the respect to other trainers, including Freddie Roach. They broke the mold. There's not going to be another trainer-teacher like Emmanuel Stewart.
And what we're going to close on that. Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Trust and Guard Network. We'll close, you know, Marion B. Boykin said something about Emmanuel Stewart that's profound, and then I'm going to close. He said, "In every major fight, Emmanuel Stewart should be in both corners. He will be in nobody's corner now. We miss him. We love him." Three thoughts. Live your life today and stand before God tomorrow. Life's most persistent, most urgent questions. What are you doing for the service of others? And when you pay for your space. Doc Stanley, Sports and Death on the Trust in God Network. Hey, we'll be back on tomorrow right here with the crew. So stay tuned for the time. We thank you for being with us. And from the bottom of my heart, God bless you all. Doc Stanley and the posse say good night and trust in God. Manuel, we miss you, baby. Love you forever. Trust in God.
God bless.
Take care, gang.
Take care. Take care. God bless.
Bye-bye.